This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
On a feel-good Friday morning, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio. And it's not a somber morning because the Knicks got the job done last night. Jalen Brunson, Captain Clutch. I had a Captain Clutch sweatshirt sitting on my desk this morning that I promptly put on to wear to represent Jalen Brunson, the greatness that he is, and this Knicks team that got it done last night. And he came out with a purpose, said we are not losing this series on our home court, and hopefully that same type of purpose permeates throughout the locker room in Indiana, the visitors' locker room in Indiana, and the Knicks come out and force a Game 7. Because you said it earlier, if they get through Game 6, you think they're going to whack the Pacers in Game 7 at the Garden.
I really do.
Yeah.
But getting through Game 6 will be the hardest game they have all year. And should be, because I think Tyrese Halliburton will actually get himself involved. Unless he's hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, he didn't look hurt. I understand what you're saying with the back thing and how bad he played, but
I don't get it, man. The guy could put a game up like that, and you know they've had a bunch of guys do this. So Mathurin has been good for them.
Mm-hmm. Last two games, but the first three.
Neesmith was good.
Yeah.
Nemhard's been somewhat good, but has kind of fallen off a little bit now. And Halliburton completely fell off.
Yeah. Well, yes, in this past game, after delivering an unbelievably amazing statistical anomaly, essentially in Game 4. So, yeah, I mean, you don't usually see that with superstars having games that bad. But it was that bad for him, just as it was that good. And then Jalen Brunson had his night. I mean, and right off the jump. And then, of course, closing it out in the fourth as well.
All right, so Pascal Siakam did not have a great game last night. You know, there were a couple times where I think I saw him complaining that he thought he was fouled and there were no foul calls.
Yeah.
So all of that can change in a moment's notice in Indiana. You know, that's the thing that is the... How are they? They're letting them play for the most part. And I thought last night, for the most part, they let them play unless you do something really stupid. And, you know, Carl Anthony Towns has done a number of these stupid things when it comes to fouls.
Yeah.
It drives all of us crazy.
I mean, you just sort of have to assume that now. You got to assume that Carl Anthony Towns is going to get into foul trouble with dumb fouls. You know, maybe this interview with Shaq and Chuck and the inside the NBA guys gets to him as they're basically telling him these dumb fouls. You're doing it every game. I mean, he's got to know because Tibbs is probably drilling into his head. I just don't think he's capable of playing any other way.
But, you know, the thing about him, it's you could see, like, he didn't hit any threes last night. And that's a big part of his game. But yet he still had a major impact on the game because when he gets down by the basket, he has this ability. I don't know how he does it. Like, he could take the ball from his hip and somehow get it up. And even though he's as big as he is, he doesn't jump very well. I mean, he actually had a dunk last night.
Yeah. Well, he didn't jump. He just, like, on his tippy toes, just dunked it in.
That's the other thing I did like about the Knicks last night as well. They, you know, they passed well in the paint last night to each other. You know, the Bridges to Josh Hart, easy layup. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, like last night twice, Deuce McBride went down the lane and also Josh Hart went down the lane. And they have easy layups or I'm not saying it's easy. But they're going right to the hoop, and instead they try to throw it to the right corner, and they throw it to a Pacer.
Yeah, I mean, right, yes, we've seen plenty of that. And, you know, these Towns highlights that CBS Sports Network put together, I mean, it's the aggressiveness of going to the basket. It's the skill that he has, ball handling at that size, and then going to the basket with authority. And generally, in those situations, it works out for him if he's not committing an offensive foul. I mean, but, that right there is tough to stop.
I mean, it is. Now, the thing about him... He's got a huge ass.
Yeah.
And there is nobody on the Patriots, the Pacers, that can actually physically go against him when they are down low. When he is down low inside the blocks, they just can't. They don't have anybody there.
Yeah, I mean, no one can just stop. I mean, when he wants to back somebody down with that big ass of his,
yes.
I mean he's going to win that battle every time.
Well, how? What do you think his waist size is? You think it's like I want to say like a 42?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, it's not like he's a fat guy. He's big and he's wide.
Yeah.
I'd say 40, conservatively 42.
Like he doesn't have that that muscular build.
No, he's.
But he likes to do that muscular thing though when he makes a play.
Right, but he's not Jalen Duren. That's for sure. The Pistons was chiseled out of stone, and the guy's got muscles.
Well, Julius Randle was chiseled. Out
yeah,
of stone.
He was too. Yeah, he definitely.
Most
was.
Of the Knick players. Well, I would say John Brunson's thick.
Yeah, yeah, he's a little pudgy.
He's like a fire. He's like.
I'm kidding.
All right. He's like a fire hydrant.
Just a joke with the Jackson
compared
Dart
to everybody
stuff.
Else out there.
Just the Jackson Dart stuff. Carl Anthony Towns, very wide. Wide load there.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Joe?
What's up? Just want to talk. Boomer and Gio, let's go.
Yeah, Joe, let's go is right.
I'm 23, young Knicks fan. Haven't seen a team like this. But the reason for my call is Tibbs' lack of developing players. You know, we see Pacers bring up a guy like T.J. McCollum, and he's a huge, key factor for them. Now we're seeing guys like Campaign, Samet, D'Lon Wright come into the game playing okay, and you think, what would happen if he actually played all season and had a regular season for these guys? And then to the last point, most chiseled guy on the Knicks now, either OG or Josh Hart. Who do we think?
Yeah, most chiseled guy now. Oh, it's, I'd say Josh probably.
I think Josh Hart, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say him.
I think, I do think that OG and Mikal Bridges are very athletic and long looking.
Yeah, Mikal a little wiry.
Yeah, but I think Josh is probably the guy. He looks great.
He does.
Like a normal size guy that's got some big shoulders and big arms.
Yeah, he probably. I'm just trying to picture these guys without their shirts on.
What about Mitchell Robinson? No chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the long arms and his little feet.
He does.
Yeah. Little feet.
Like if you're thinking, all right.
He drives a big pickup truck, though, which I love.
He does. He's got a big pickup truck. He's got flags on it. I'm just trying to picture like a Knicks pool party.
Yeah.
These guys taking their shirts
Josh
off.
Josh Hart. Definitely
it's Josh Hart, right? You can see some abs there.
Yeah.
Yeah, little pecs.
Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Mike, what's happening?
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah, I love the show. Boomer, happy about your support for cystic fibrosis. I've got a friend with a kid with cystic fibrosis, and just hope you guys can get the ball back and get that thing done. But that's not what I called about. I wanted to know, I haven't heard anything this series about you guys putting any jerseys in the freezer. Curious if you got any plans for anybody going in there.
Hey, Halliburton's been in the freezer this whole series. He's in there.
He's already in there,
so don't worry about that. I mean, Mike, you know, part of me, you know, everybody wants to get, it didn't work, you know, two nights ago, but then I guess it worked last night.
Yeah.
But overall, has it worked?
No.
You don't think, I don't think he's been...
He had a
fantastic game in game four.
I would say up until last... All right, so... Before we go to the game last night.
They shouldn't have won the other night in game one. He didn't have a great game in game one.
Yeah, but he hit the shot that sent it into overtime. I would say up until last night, prior to the game, Halliburton was having a better series than Jalen Brunson. Can't say that anymore, but he was.
Jalen Brunson's been, all right.
He was. They were up 3-1 and he had an incredible.
I don't like to talk about it, but yes, I did. I do have the jersey in the freezer. It's going to remain there. It's not going anywhere.
This is when we really need it to happen. So even if up until this point it hasn't completely gotten to 100%, he had a terrible game five, and now we need to see him crumble under the pressure in the freezer in 6 and 7, which is a total real possibility after that crap that he put out there yesterday.
He didn't do anything yesterday.
Yeah, so let's keep that
strange,
going.
Strange guy.
Keep that going. Mike and Wall, what's going on, Mike?
Hey guys, how are you? Big win last night. I was asked to help out in caddy, so I'm on my way to Bayonne Golf Club right now.
All right,
great course, great trip. But I wanted to call because if you guys, I'm not the best lip reader in the world, but after his third foul, an awful, I think an offensive foul, Towns' third foul, they focused in on Tibbs, who looked bewildered, and I am almost 100% sure he mouthed the word effing dumb into it, and they just shot off of him really, really quick.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, you know, coaches get frustrated. The rest of us were saying it, Mike. Have a great day today. We all were saying the same thing. But, you know, these coaches are human beings, man. They're just as intense as the players are. And there's nothing worse than watching a player do something really completely stupid.
Yeah.
No matter what sport you're playing. And that goes for turnovers, too, by the way.
And by the way, Cat agreed in the postgame. He said, I got to be smarter than that. It's killing the team. So he knows. And I mean, there's no defending some of these fouls. There just isn't. So I and how critical it is to have Cat out there or not out there is going to piss off Tibbs when he's committing these stupid fouls that he's probably told him about after every game. That's the other thing. You know, when like you're a teacher or you're a parent and you tell a kid like 10 million times to do something and they don't do it?
Yeah.
That's probably where Tibbs is with Cat right now.
But the other thing to remember about Carl Anthony Towns, this is the best big man the Knicks have had since Patrick Ewing. It's not even close. It is not even close. It's kind of like Jalen Brunson is the best point guard since Walt Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long it's been that you've had two players on the offensive end of the court, at least, that you know are two of the greatest Knicks players at their respective positions in the history of a franchise that was born in the 40s. That's how bad it's been.
Yep.
And here we are, we're nitpicking. Now, nitpicking the right things. I think nitpicking the stupid fouls, as they talked about in the postgame last night, and as he has acknowledged. So hopefully he'll get that right, and he won't do those stupid things, especially on defense when he's grabbing people and holding people or shoving people to the ground.
Listen, it's not nitpicking when you're at this level, when you are two games away or two wins away from going to an NBA Finals, and you know that you need those guys to play their best to win a championship. That's just pointing out the things that need to change if you want to get to the Finals and win a championship. So, I mean, and Tibbs knows it. Carl Anthony Towns knows it. It's about applying it now. And I'm curious to see if Towns goes out and does the same stupid stuff in Game 6 because he can't help himself. I mean, there's been like one game out of the last five where he wasn't flailing around committing stupid
fouls. But he's also putting up points and getting rebounds and I know, he's assisted. He's a great player. I mean, it's just the foul part of it all.
Let's go to Dominic in New Rochelle. Hello, Dominic.
Hey, what's up, Bloomer and Gio? How you doing? Big fans. Big Knicks fans in the car right now. I'm taking my daughters to school.
Nice.
Hey, all right. We like it. A car full of Knicks fans. What's happening, Dominic?
Yeah, look, first of all, I'm a huge Carl Anthony Towns fan. I love the intensity he's playing with. I know that it's been the recurring call you guys have been getting. Poor guys getting beat up. I want to start by saying he conducted himself, I thought, very well in that interview at the end of the game. He's a class act, but the stupid fouls got to stop. But I got to give a shout out to Stan Van Gundy. He made me fall on the floor laughing. If you recall last night, if you referenced it already, I'm sorry to waste your time, but 0.6 seconds left in the third quarter, and he calls him back off the bench. And Stan Van Gundy goes, I understand why Fibs is doing it. I don't think I'd bring Townsend right now. He's liable to do something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's he said,
on the floor left.
And then Reggie Miller was like, but there's 0.6 seconds. He goes, yeah, he'll commit a blocking foul somehow.
Or an illegal screen.
That's right, illegal screen. That's what he said. Yeah, good call, Dominic. You're right, you know, a great day.
I will say this about Kevin Harlan and these guys. I feel like I learned basketball from them. I really do. I think they're doing a great job. And I know Reggie Miller is a former Pacer, and there's reasons I hate him. But I got to tell you, I think he's been fair, and I think he's called it as he has seen it. I think he's been on Halliburton. I think he gets on Carl Anthony Towns. I think Van Gundy's done a great job. And you know, I love Kevin, so I actually have enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, I mean,
they're better than fine. I think they're really good. I really like them.
The Reggie Miller thing is.
I know it's hard to get over that, but I think he's been fair.
Yeah, I guess. I've been
in that situation. You know, it was hard doing Steeler games and Browns games without having like an inner like, oh, I can't stand these guys.
Yeah,
but you got to do it, and you got to be able to be as professional as you possibly can be.
Well, we were talking about nitpicking. Here's a nitpick.
All right, nitpick.
With Reggie Miller, he does the thing that Booger McFarland used to do when he was doing football games for Monday Night Football, when he goes, our game. Because he's the best three-point shooter in our game. He's the best on-ball defender in our game. And Booger McFarland used to do that, too. This is the best defensive tackle in our game right now. And it just drives me crazy. Because it's like, what do you mean your game? It's not your game. It's everybody's game that's watching. I don't know. Something about that is pretentious to me.
Oh, okay.
And maybe if it wasn't Reggie Miller or Booger McFarland, two guys who I can't stand, maybe it wouldn't bother me. But I can't stand those guys.
doesn't really bother me much.
You're one of those guys. You're one of those athletes. That's our game. You're one of those guys. That's why when you're on the outside looking in like me, it's like, oh, look at these guys.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Get over it.
Let's go to Major Smith in East Orange. What's going on, Major Smith?
How you doing, man?
What's up, Major Smith?
Hey, all right. What's going on, brother? Hey, man. I call, brother, because, I watch a lot of sports, and I notice that every sport now is taking away defense from the game. Football is doing it. Basketball is definitely doing it because I was in a chiropractor's office one day and watching LeBron on Steph Curry, and he was so far away from him. I'm like, anybody in his family could make 3-point shots, you know? And they're taking the game and making it what they want it to be instead of what it's intended to be, competitive and fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a point in football where a lot of the rules have been geared towards getting offenses scoring more points.
Safety.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, we like points. We like offense. But in the NBA, I think actually fans want to see more defense. I actually think it's the opposite.
Well, I also think that there is something when you watch a game and you watch the fans in the building, regardless of which building that they're playing in, and a 3-point shot gets hit. Like when Deuce goes up to shoot a 3-point shot, everybody in the garden's yelling, Deuce.
And he's a guy that's ripped, by the way. We left him out. Ripped,
yeah, but he's short.
But still.
All right. He is ripped. But you hear it, and the fan at the game loves the 3-point shot. That's my reaction to it, listening. And it happens the same thing in Indiana. It happens down in OKC. It happens up in Boston. Everybody loves the 3-point shot because they know it either gets them back into the game or it comes at a moment where the team really needs that 3-point shot to stay in the lead. I mean, I as much as I hate it, and I think that during the regular season, it basically becomes a jump shooting contest from that distance. These games are much more physical, and they are much more competitive, which I do like about the NBA and the playoffs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's actually Geo and Jerry as Boomer makes a lox and cream cheese sesame bagel.
He might be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah. He walked out of the studio with a box of donuts.
I saw.
And went right to the bagel and started making a bagel.
God bless him.
He's going for it. Good for him. Good Friday. No judging here. I'd actually love to see it. What happened to the commercials, by the way? We've got fewer than normal here. Every time I run out there, we got plates and forks. I put the cream cheese on the bagel, and Eddie's, stand by! I'm like, for God's sakes, I took one bite of this thing. I've been waiting for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Stand by, Omaha. Like, God damn. Already? Anyway, Jerry.
So let's talk Knicks Pacers. We can do that. A good night for New York as they have extended the series. As we know, we get the final seconds if you are watching on TNT with Kevin Harlan.
And the New York Knicks have looked elimination in the eye, and they are alive and kicking. And now the series to Game 6 in Indy with the Pacer lead cut 3-2.
Yeah, 111-94 was the final score. And, you know, TNT, for some people, I know Al will have TNT for tomorrow night. You'll have it because he hasn't had it otherwise. Well, because he doesn't have TV.
That's right.
He just streams a couple of apps, which is fine. Then there are others, and if you're into the world of YouTube golf, you know of the Bob Does Sports guys. I can't tell, but I think they were trying to watch the Nick game in a hotel room last night. And, you know, Joey Coldcuts goes a little crazy from time to time.
Yes.
Let's just say the digital TV in the hotel room was freezing.
Come on! What the hell is this?
Smacking the TV.
What is going on here?
Joe, it's not 1982.
Right.
You can't smack the TV and make it work.
but the image of the video is very
funny.
But
he's right. Those hotel
terrible.
TVs suck.
Just so bad. Terrible.
Ever since they went to the whole streaming platform, because every hotel now has done that, it's brutal.
And it's all wireless.
And how about, you know, if you're in a hotel room and you want to watch Netflix, obviously you got to sign in. And then you got to remember, you got to sign out before you get out of it.
Yeah. Which one? I'm not joking. It took me a half hour one time. I couldn't figure out
how to sign out.
I couldn't figure out how to do it. But yes, that has happened. Anyhow, people wanted to see their Knicks last night, and they did get to see a good game. Here was Jalen Brunson. He had 32 points. The Knicks defensively so much better early on in this game compared to Game 4 when they gave up a whopping 43 points. Why was that the case? He was on TNT postgame.
I mean, we were just able to get stops early and run. We would convert, and we just found a way.
And he didn't give you the whole, you know, one quarter, one half, one game at a time, but does say we're keeping it simple.
Focus on one thing at a time, one quarter, and we go from there. Focus on the first quarter.
That's it. So you do it one at a time, and we'll see if they can get this thing back to the Garden for a Game 7. Deuce McBride says we really locked in on this game.
Yeah, we just went into play to our defensive strengths, honestly. We felt like we didn't bring it the last game, and we just wanted to make sure that, you know, if they're going to make tough shots, they're going to make tough shots, but we wanted to make it hard on them.
And they did. Aaron Nesmith was 1-for-8, 3 points. Tyrese Halliburton, 2-for-7, just 8 points. That was that. And then you had Karl-Anthony Towns at 24 points and 13 rebounds, and there was that whole question about, is he going to play? Is he questionable? How's the leg feeling? The decision to play or not?
I always try to play. So I don't know, but nothing really came across my mind that I was going to miss this game. It's Game 5. It's do or die, so definitely want to show up.
And I think that's what we all kind of expected yesterday, too.
Yeah.
Wally was a little concerned when we saw him earlier in the day. He goes, I don't know, man. Might be a little compromised. He's definitely going to play, but he might be a little compromised. Didn't look too compromised.
No, I thought he looked great, actually.
And so we got Game 6 Saturday night, Jerry,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
Let's go to Jackie in Smithtown, who joins us on the fan. What's going on, Jackie?
Oh, my goodness. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning,
hi, Jackie. What's happening?
Okay, I'll make it as quick as I can. First of all, I am your number one fan. Don't let anybody else tell you anything else. I'm your number one.
Oh, my God. Hold on, Jackie. Hold on. Say that again, because your phone crapped out.
Winning Saturday. I don't want to touch the money, Boomer.
Okay.
But my mom passed away, and she lived with us. And big Yankees fan, Knicks fan, still trying to learn about football. But she's going to win for her on Saturday. Saturday's her birthday.
Okay. Well, we are... Jerry, then your phone's bad.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, I think they're going to win Saturday too.
Jerry,
not for
Jerry
her mom.
I was just going to say that's a very.
It's a bird, you moron.
I mean, that's a little much.
What's this? Eddie played that. I didn't say that. I mean,
Jackie, we're sorry for your loss, and
yes.
there's nothing more special when life and sports come together like that.
I do think that there's a Pacer fan who's had someone pass away recently, and they think that the Pacers are going to close it out Saturday for them. Or last night, how'd that work out? But I do think that the Knicks are going to win Saturday.
Okay, so there you go. So you're with Jackie's. What it comes down to.
To a certain degree, sure. But I don't think it has anything to do with her mom, personally.
Okay.
I have been changed forever since the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees in the World Series. We've talked about this a million times.
Yeah, it's true.
There was ever a time that people in a city needed a championship, it was 2001.
You don't know what I know.
Yes, because everyone's got a story. And none of it...
You don't know what I know.
Amounts to crap, is essentially.
But at the end of this storm, there's a rainbow. And you know who put the rainbow there? God.
Uh-huh. Fraud! Fraud!
I'm telling you, you don't know what I know.
I know plenty.
You don't know what I know.
But I listen, they're going to win.
Especially regarding that World Series.
No, no.
That there was a very special thing.
Yeah, there was a lot of special things that happened here, too.
Mm. Listen, but I started believing in miracles yesterday when I hit the green from 175 yards down to Sleepy Hollow with a six iron. That's when I started believing in miracles.
You should have seen your boy yesterday, man.
This is going to happen.
I mean, it was.
Very nice.
Pretty impressive.
Very good. Winning cash, I hear.
No, losing cash still, but I'm getting closer.
Oh, losing cash.
Oh, speaking of losing cash, is like the breakfast this morning part of my payout from yesterday?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, you know me. Don't even give me that crap. I always make sure I pay.
We haven't paid yet.
I know, because I didn't. Man.
Wow.
I still don't have cash yesterday. I will get you your cash. Don't have to worry about it. You know me. I'm always giving you your cash. And so the breakfast does not have to do with it. It's a special thing.
I just thought maybe it had something to do with it.
That's you thinking, not me.
Here was Pascal Siakam. Bad game for us. We'll be all right.
We're up 3-2 in the series, and we have an opportunity to go back home and show what we're made of. I have no doubt in my teammates, and I have so much faith in them. And, you know, I know that we're gonna give everything we got.
We shall see. It'll be 8 o'clock tomorrow. Tyrese Halliburton need to improve.
I got to be better, and I'll be better in game six. But, you know, I'll watch the film and, learn from it like I always try to do, and, be prepared for game
six.
And
while this is going on, the Thunder await their opponent. I did not realize if the Pacers would have won last night, they still weren't starting the NBA Finals till next Thursday, which is a long time. So either way.
By that time, everybody's going to forget about the NBA.
I agree.
Especially if Indiana wins.
That is true, too. You're not wrong. Mets take on the Rockies tonight. You've got the Yankees in L.A. late tonight to take on the Dodgers. Max Fried, the star there. A couple of things from football. This is in relation to the Jets via the Nightcap podcast, of course, with Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp. So they didn't play the clip, but they read the quote from Justin Fields about he thinks he can be great. And that this team is set up and they look good. And Ocho didn't disagree with him other than also acknowledging the fact that it is May.
Everybody looks good in shorts and shirts. We all do. And that's a different game. When we talk about the Jets, we know what happened when the goddamn lights come on Sunday at 1 o'clock. There's always been a different story.
It has been. That having been said, if you do what you think you can do, you'll be rewarded.
For Justin, for his sake, this is the make or break a year for him. You have a stellar, you have a phenomenal season this year. You get you a nice big payday, boy.
Probably very true. So very interesting is the NFL starting to feel like football season, still 100 days away from the start of the season. Then down in Miami, you had a reporter ask a very basic question. I'm going to ask you to see how you would respond or react if you heard this in relation to system Mike McDaniel, in relation to Jalen Ramsey.
Are you sad that the relationship went sideways?
How would you answer that question?
Am I sad? This is a football team. If he doesn't want to be here, then we'll do everything we can to accommodate him. But I'm not sad. I can only coach the players that are here.
How long did that take?
10 seconds. Yeah,
was 10 it even tops. 10 seconds?
Yeah, probably less, yeah.
You can stop this whenever you want. And I will tell you that I cut it off because he kept going. Mike McDaniel.
I'm very excited to coach a football team. And that's not dismissing, but quite honestly, like I everything's an opportunity cost. So I think it is quite honestly irresponsible for me to put down some of the thoughts and focus on the players that were. We're working now to build a performance for the season.
What? Build the performance?
And concern myself with that.
I had to stop it because it goes on and on. God. What did it even mean?
Nothing. He just can't stop. He can't give a concise answer. It's not possible for him.
I do love the guy, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's great for audio and stuff, but I mean, things were great for him early on, not so much anymore.
Not so much. And you also had the situation when Tyreek Hill quit on his team last year. So he was there, and he was asked about that incident and how you kind of look at your teammates now when you come back this season?
It was tough, man. Obviously, emotions were high then. But at the end of the day, man, I'm just looking to move forward from that. Hoping that, you know, I can prove myself and prove to my teammates that, you know, I'm still one of the ones, man, who like chasing, you know, 2K, still one of those ones chasing, you know, playoff dreams and all of that great stuff. So.
And so that was his answer, which I don't know if that was a great answer.
They going to be ass.
They going to be ass. He going to be ass.
Going to be ass.
Everybody going to be ass.
Oh, man. And in Dallas, there's a new head coach. As you know, Brian Schottenheimer is the guy. And one of the things he is trying to do is, like every other team, change the culture. Here is Schottenheimer on how he's trying to get that accomplished.
The big thing that goes into culture, too, I think, is being authentic. You know, I will always be authentic. I'm never going to stand up here and pretend to be something I'm not. I think that that's a recipe for disaster in this business. I've seen it. I've seen it fail. I think I shared with you, my dad said, hey, if you ever get a shot to be a head coach, one thing you should never do is change. Be yourself.
He says he will not change, so we shall see. Should be an interesting season. And I like that he references his dad, who was a hell of a coach.
Yep.
So we should be so lucky if he is half as good as his father was. NHL last night, the Oilers are advancing.
Walbin to Leon Draisaitl, trying to change the complexion of this period. Here's Evander Kane swooping in, redirected home. Kane banked it in off a Dallas defenseman, might have been Lindell. And just like that, Edmonton's two-goal lead is restored, 5-3. Kane's fifth of the postseason.
And that was Oilers radio with the call. They would win 6-3 and advance to play the Panthers yet again in the Stanley Cup Finals. Eddie tells me game one of that's not till June 4th.
It's another thing, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think what they do is they obviously have to give everybody about the same time off, but they also want to, if one of these series goes seven games, then what? Florida against Carolina, they had to finish their series and go right into their next game.
I get it.
Like yeah. 2 days later. So
it's such a long night. You're right.
It really didn't bother Florida because they obviously won.
But you are right. People will lose interest in these series when you have this much time in between. Anyhow, they do win. Here is Connor McDavid. This is far different from last year.
It hasn't been as emotional. You know, we haven't had the highs and we haven't had the lows. Just kind of been steady. You know, and I think that's put us in a good position. You know, those games can be emotionally draining. We're not drained.
And lastly, on McDavid, we played it earlier, and I know CBS Sports Network showed the highlight, the breakaway goal, which was just a gorgeous goal. Here was Leon Draisaitl.
I think all things considered, my hockey brain goes to that's probably one of the nicest goals I've seen him score.
That's got to be saying a lot. Because he's had some pretty damn good goals. So Oilers and Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals that will start sometime in July. And there you have it. I'm joking, right. Of course, but yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
So I believe this is Lit that we're listening to coming back from break. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is we still haven't heard a Post Malone song coming back from break. You are going to hear one at some point from the next break to 10 o'clock. And when you do hear it, any Post Malone song, you dial 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. You have to be caller number 7 from there. And then you win tickets for Post Malone at Citi Field, which is a big show, a lot of buzz, hot ticket. You can win it here, but you got to be listening and you got to hear the Post Malone song to call in. And it's from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, go to livenation.com. And I've heard that Post Malone Live has been spectacular. And certainly in that venue, stadium venue, it's going to be off the charts. All right, let's go to Mike in Verona. What's going on, Mike? Good morning.
Hey guys, how you doing? First time, long time.
All right, Mike.
So I was the one that hit. I was the one that hit Boomer last week with the beach ball, kicking off the summer party.
Oh, Mike, You are the guy, huh? Would you like to apologize to Boomer? He is here in the studio if you'd like to apologize.
Yeah, yes, I'm sorry, Boomer. But I heard after the show that there was a $100 payoff to whoever hit Boomer.
Yeah, that was from Eddie, actually. Yes, Eddie was about to hand you $100.
I appreciate your honesty, Mike, and the fact that you feel really good about that this morning makes my day.
Yeah, is this... oh, there it is right there. Yep. Yes. Right in the middle of the John Fox spot. Bang, there it is. Good job there, CBS Sports Network, having that on cue for us. That was a week ago? Like, what the hell? That feels like it was 3 days ago that we were sitting out there in the cold. But very good. Let's go to Jennifer in Long Beach. What's going on, Jennifer?
Hey, guys. Happy Feel Good Friday. Love, love, love you guys. I have a question about Josh Hart. Do you guys feel like maybe he's having a confidence issue? He's missing shots. He's turning the ball over. He doesn't seem like himself. Or do you think maybe when he tweaked his knee? I don't know if you talked about it earlier this morning. I might have missed it. But I'm just curious what your take is on that. What do you think's going on with him?
You know, he's
definitely not himself.
I don't know if you saw this yesterday. I there were a couple times where he took rebounds right out of the hands of Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, he ripped the ball out of the hands. So that's the part of Josh Hart that we all love and admire because he's the smallest guy on the court in a lot of respects when he's going up there and getting rebounds. But the frustrating part is, yeah, I think he has lost confidence in a shot. I would say that. But what I did like later on in the game, he was down in the post and he did go up with the ball and he did score. And I think he also had a 3-point play, I believe. I think he was fouled in that play.
Yes. Yeah, he was. And there... You're 100% right about the three-point shot and his jump shot he has no confidence in. But I also think that the player that he was last year in the postseason isn't needed this year. He doesn't need to score as much. He needs to be someone who, you know, gets going in transition, someone who grabs those rebounds, someone who plays really good defense, someone that gets fouled at the end of quarters and the end of games and hits foul shots. And he's doing all that stuff. So just because you're used to him hitting more threes last year in the postseason – that doesn't mean that he's struggling this year. He's just contributing in different ways.
But he is turning the ball over. And sometimes, like I even said this earlier in the year, like he'll get out in transition. Sometimes it becomes wacky. You know, the ball's flying all over the place. You know, they tried a couple alley-oops the other night. He's not great at that. Where he's throwing the ball to Mitchell Robinson. When I think of Josh Hart throwing the ball to Mitchell Robinson, I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
Please like
it's
don't
like
do
it's
that.
Like it's covered in grease.
Just don't want those two guys interacting too much on the offensive side of the ball. But where you do really want them is you want them on the rebounds. You want them getting rebounds on offense. You want them getting the defensive rebounds. And you want them playing defense. That's their forte. That's who they are.
Here's the person I'm worried about. Something going on is OG Anunoby. He's the guy I'm more concerned about who hasn't looked himself for many games in a row, and maybe there's an injury there, or maybe there's something going on, but he is just, he could have such an impact on games, both offensively and defensively, and he's been essentially a no-show.
How many times have we seen him go down the paint and slip and fall?
Yeah.
Or try to force something up, and he can't finish.
It's like he's got vertigo under the basket, too. It's just like he has no idea.
It's weird, like, you know, not everybody's going to be at the top of their game all the time, so they got to make up with it somewhere else. And OG has made, in the games that they've won, he's made some very, very key plays late in these games. Yep. Whether they be rebounds, whether they, you know, he got a dunk last night. It was great. And, you know, and he's one of those guys because his arms are so long that he can tip balls on defense, and he does that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see him having a third terrible game in a row and the Knicks winning.
What's terrible is if Siakam goes off for 30.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what we don't want. What we want is we want him to really focus on trying to keep Siakam off the boards, try to keep him off of the scoreboard, and try to keep him from draining three-pointers, standing wide open while Anunoby is trying to help somebody on defense, and then leave Siakam wide open in the corner.
Yeah, and I know that athletes don't need extra motivation in situations like this, but like the fact that Siakam was going back and forth with that guy about like effort and all those things and playing harder, like I didn't like that, because now I'm going to see Siakam probably fly up and down the court and dunk and go crazy in the beginning of this game.
They got to meet energy with energy. They got to be ready to go. They got to be careful with the basketball. I mean, I don't know how many times those guys said it last night, the turnovers. And the Knicks won the turnover battle, but both teams turned the ball over a ton last night.
Mike in South Carolina, what's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
I wanted to touch about, you were talking about Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns earlier about the dumb fouls. I just notice a lot. I don't know if you guys notice it as much, but they take dumb shots at bad times, especially Cat. I mean, I know we're going to need him both sides of the ball if they're going to win these next two games and go any further. But if you notice, they'll get a huge stop and the crowd's into it and you hear everybody going nuts. And then all of a sudden he'll just come down and turn around from 10 feet behind the 3-point line and just chuck a three. Nobody's underneath. Nobody's there to play defense. And it just kills the vibe. And I think that like I said, he's a big guy. I know his game is under the basket, but it seems like Brunson and I think Bridges are the only ones that don't take bad shots. Like you said, OG takes weird shots. Hart's been taking weird shots. It's like nobody talks to them.
Sometimes those guys take weird shots because they're at the end of the shot clock and they have to.
No, but I'm just talking about it'll be a fast break and someone will just pull up and just take a shot with no one set underneath the basket. And they're just bad, bad shots. I think their in-game shot selections have to change because Indiana's going to start taking advantage of them when their shots start going down. And that's what's going to ultimately not let the Knicks go on any further.
Well, I think, Indiana's already done that. That's why they got a three games to two lead. But There was only one point last night where I thought Karl-Anthony Towns, he got an offensive rebound late in the game and put it right back up, as opposed to grabbing the offensive rebound and maybe getting it out and taking another 15 seconds off the clock.
Yeah.
And I know he's so close to the basket and he's so big that he thinks he's going to make every basket that he attempts. Or every shot he attempts. So I can't argue. It's hard to argue. They're a Final Four team. They did exactly what I wanted them to do last night, and that was win at home convincingly in front of their fan base.
Right, they did. And I also think that there's just, with the Knicks offense, as we talked about before, it comes in from different places all the time, with Jalen Brunson being the heart of it. And sometimes when they get it done, it looks ugly. They don't have much of a plan sometimes in transition. When he's not on the court, they're just all over the place. Keystone Cops, as my high school football coaches used to say, it's stuff like, doesn't look pretty when they get it done because it doesn't look like they have much of a plan and identity on offense, which is what we talked about after the loss in game four, was as the Pacers, the ball movement's a little bit better. They find the open guy. They have those alley-oops to Obi Toppin a little bit more than the Knicks have plays like that. So it's just, doesn't mean the Knicks can't beat them. It's just that sometimes when the Knicks get it done, even when they get it done, their offense looks ugly.
I just hope Mikal Bridges is on from mid-range. That's a big part of the offense for the Knicks when he's running across the lane and he stops and he pulls up. Normally, he makes those shots. In game four, he was not making those shots. Last night, he made some of those shots.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Let's go to Gene in Smithtown. What's going on, Gene?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, really quick, I was in the city. I live in Smithtown, so I'm not in Manhattan much, but love the vibe. I'm an older guy, just turned 60, so love the 90s, Knicks-Pacers rivalry, so it was great to kind of be around the city. Love that. Obviously, great time New York sports. Boomer was playing for the Jets. The Rangers won, so certainly a throwback to the 90s. But a caller earlier mentioned Josh Hart. I certainly think something's up, but the game he played last, obviously yesterday, he kind of came on later in the game. I think he had like 10 rebounds, and certainly I think as long as he's rebounding like that, he gets in the double digits. I feel good that the Knicks will put. You mentioned Bridges too. Bridges, I think, is key for Saturday's game. So appreciate the show. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gene. Yeah, I mean, Josh Hart was miserable in game four. I thought he did his job last night. I mean, that's really the way I look at it. I mean, he was a little sloppy still with the turnovers, but he felt like he was the main reason why they lost the game. Him and Brunson not scoring in the fourth quarter in game four because he was turning the ball over left and right. It was ugly, but I felt like he was fine last night.
If he hits a couple of three-pointers, then he gets his confidence back. He's such a flat shooter that, which game was it? He was actually hitting some three-pointers. Last night he threw up two bricks. But when he got inside, he was able to score.
Mm-hmm.
And, he had one where he was going down the lane, like I was telling you this morning, where he threw it to the corner and he threw it right to a Pacer, as opposed to going up onto the rim with it And he induced both did that yesterday. And just those bad turnovers that drives, you know, Stan Van Gundy crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you could hear the coach coming out of him.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that's funny when that happens. Those Van Gundys, when they see some bad basketball, boy, they get fired up.
But you know what? I'm glad that he's honest.
Of course, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.